his lens that we can see a little closer, something about the creation of man. And when God created man himself, being Adam, God said, that's not good. Now, everything else God had said that's good, and God said that that's very good. But then he saw that Adam was alone, and he said, it's not good that man should be alone. And he said, I will make for him an helpmeet. And that's exactly what we are to be together, man and wife, helpmeet for each other. We are to be the completers for each other. It may go tonight. It may be a short message. My voice may go. We are to be completers one of another and not competitors with one another. This is not a competition. This is a teamwork. Proverbs 31, if you would come down to about verse number 10, and let's begin there. Who can find a virtuous woman for her price? And with that in my Bible, I've written above that her value, her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her goods from afar, food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her handmaids. She considereth a field and buyeth it. And with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good and her candle goeth not out by night. And she layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. And she stretched out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. And she's not afraid of the snow for her household. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. You know what that verse means? She doesn't have to run over to Kroger every time they say the weather forecast has changed. She doesn't have to worry about the warmth of her family. She is prepared. Now in verse number 22, if you would please. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruits of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. This is, of course, the last service of our Mother's Day for this year. We're focusing on this passage of Scripture, which speaks about mothers. It speaks about a woman, but it speaks about characteristics of godly people. I read a number of years ago a story about a second grade teacher who, during her science class, she was talking about magnets. Magnets were the lesson of the day. And she spent a good while teaching her class about magnets. And the next day they had a quiz. And she was quizzing them and asking them questions and getting this all set up. And so she one of the questions that she asked, she said, my name has six letters. And the first one is M. And I pick things up. Some of you are getting it without me saying it. 50% of the second grade class put the answer as mother and not magnet. Boy, that will teach you something as a teacher, won't it? What could be classified as a Mother's Day message here, I want us to all pick up, because the Bible tells us to add to our faith virtue. Now look back at the very beginning of our reading. Who can find a virtuous woman. Now, understand this tonight. I think the crowd that's here grasped this. And this is not demeaning. And this is not belittling. But God puts man as the head of the household. And that is not a demeaning thing. But if God put man in that place, let me tell you this, woman should be the crown. If man is the head of the household, the woman should be the crown of the household. We look back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said He would make male and female, made He them. In chapter 2, verse 7 is the details of man. Chapter 2 and verse number 18, God said, I'll make for him a helpmeet. And then in chapter 2 and verse number 22, after God had made Eve for Adam, the scripture actually says this, He brought her, Eve, to Adam. That's a first. Can you try to imagine what Adam thought? He's never seen another human being before. He's the only one. And suddenly God brings the woman that He has created out to Adam and introduces them. Only in heaven will we ever know exactly what may have gone through Adam's mind or what he said. But understand this. Woman was the last creation of God. It's the finishing touch on all the work that He had done. Now, I want to say this to you, and I believe it in sincerity tonight with all my heart. If homes were built just on men, they'd fall apart. Ladies, that was your opportunity, and all I heard was Henry and Brother Rick. Our homes would fall apart. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. You know the reality? Churches would fall apart. And I don't care what denomination you look at, but if you look at churches, the majority of the working staff of churches, the volunteer staff, the Sunday school teachers and workers, the helpers, and we go through the whole ministry, if it weren't for ladies working in the ministry, ministries would fail and homes would fail. So as we look at this, we're looking at a description of godly womanhood. And there's about seven small things that I want us to write down as we go through. There's some sub things along with it. But I want you to notice first of all this, her standing. And we find that in verse 10 through 12 is her standing with God. Now, it is mentioned here in verse 10 through 12, for her price is far above rubies. Now, you know, in our vernacular, in our day, we consider the best expression of love and value to be a diamond. It's interesting that the Bible uses the word ruby here. Her price is far above rubies. I got interested in that a little bit and started reading behind. What would that mean? And here's what I found out to boil it down. If a ruby is a certain color, and a ruby is a certain clarity, not the rareness, but the lack of them, and you find a lot more rubies than you do diamonds, the struggle is this. Rubies are not that expensive, but the true, real thing. And that's what the scripture is talking about. It's not just talking about the woman. It's talking about a virtuous woman. And here's what I found about the rubies. A ruby that is of pristine condition and cut and clarity and color can be more expensive per carat than the diamond is. Who can find a virtuous woman? Well, look at the definition of virtuous. Her price is far above her standing. Notice in verse number 10 is her price. Now, with that price, let's look at that word virtuous. Now, if you look at definitions, dictionary definitions, you would see the word attached to virtuous is moral. Now, when we think of the word moral, most of the time we think about physical morality. We think about the gender involvement with this. But do you remember, and maybe it's a thing of the past, but you remember folks saying, my mother or my father, in particular, I've heard this multiple times, my father was not a Christian, but he was a good moral man. Now, when someone said that, they weren't talking about just being loyal to his wife. It goes beyond that. When we're talking about the virtuous woman here, the high moral standard, but concerned with principles, the principles of right and wrong and holding to those things. And so he says, who can find this virtuous woman? It talks about, this is sort of a military term attached to this as well, because it's talking about the virtuous woman having the strength of an army. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 22, just a few pages away for it, says this: whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor with the Lord. Now, I don't want any of you men to say anything, and I don't want my wife to say anything, but I'm going to tell you this tonight. The person that challenges me in my life more in a right way, and I don't mean she challenges every decision I make and all of that, the person that challenges me most in my life is my wife. Let me tell you this. If there is a need in my life, and I want someone to pray for me, and I want somebody that I know prays, and that I know God listens to them pray, I don't mean this disrespectful for anybody in the room, but I'll tell you this, the first person I'm going to call is my wife, because I've heard her pray. I've listened to her heart when she prays. But here's the key part of it. I've seen heaven move when she prays. I know our boys, and not meant to slight any of them, my wife is very good at reminding us and challenging us to pray. Now, I have told you, I believe in prayer. And I have illustrated it before of times of doing this when there's a need. And I pray. And I ask the Lord to take care of the need. And immediately, I set out by my own efforts to supply the need. My wife challenges me in that. Her price, the strength of an army, virtuous, concerned with principle of right and wrong. Whosoever, who findeth, as Proverbs 18, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. Wyatt, get busy. He gave me the thumbs up. I'm working on it. And God will bring him the right lady. Listen, if he brought Chris Ferguson the right lady, he can bring wife. And you hear Rob? He said amen over here. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Why is it a good thing? Because God, when he looked at man, said, man, you can't do this on your own. You need a helpmeet. And so her standing, first of all, in verse number 10, her price. Verse number 11, her perfection. The godly woman is trustworthy, and she's always looking at the best interest of those who she loves and those that are on her heart. Proverbs chapter 19. Would you turn back there quickly if you would, please? Proverbs chapter 19, just a few pages back. Chapter 19 and verse number 14. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Now, what does that mean? You know, a lot of times we read something or memorize it. We may not even define what it means. I'm finding myself more in recent times in my Bible study looking for, okay, what does that word mean? It says a prudent wife. What is that? A thoughtful wife. I'm glad that that verse doesn't say, finds a wife that's a prude. You know what that is? A killjoy. A goody-goody is another. And that was in the dictionary, folks. It said, prude, goody-goody beside it. One that holds everyone to a different standard. But it says this to us. And a prudent wife is from the Lord. All you fellows that are still looking, make sure you get the right one. Notice that in Genesis, God says, I will make for him a helpmeet. And there's something that Eve did. She completed out what God had created in Adam. Now, God said this, I didn't. When he looked at Adam, he said, this is not good. I've got to make version 2 here. I've got to update him. And in order to do that, it's coming from an outside place. God took of his rib and he made her for him. Her standing, her price, her perfection. Look, if you would, at verse number 12, her plan. This woman is, she's an asset. She's not a liability to her husband and to her family. She supports them and encourages them. Proverbs 12, verse number 4, it says this, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. Now, can I park here for just a minute? Shake your head, yes or no. Let me know you're here. Can I park here for just a second? I want to do two thoughts with this. If God has allowed a lady to stay at home and be a stay-at-home mom, don't think she's lazy. That has got to be one of the hardest jobs that anyone could have. I'd encourage you to pray for, continue to pray if you would, for Lauren. Justin is in this job process and he has been in the academy for some 10 weeks now. This is his last full week. Lauren, you know, and he's suffering in his job. He sent me a picture last week. He said, you know, man, this job is, and he was on a boat on the lake. And that's what game and inland fishery they were teaching them, yes, but he was rubbing it in everybody's face. But there at home is Lauren and two little boys. 24 hours a day, 6.5 days a week. If God has allowed you to be a stay-at-home mother, thank God for it. And the rest of us, don't say anything negative about it. But let me say this, on the other hand. I heard a preacher one time, and the title of his message was this, Mamas Go Home. And he blasted ladies who were working outside of the workplace or outside of the home. And he never got near Proverbs 31. Now, what I wanted to do after the service was go up and say, friend, what do you do with this passage of Scripture? Because in Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman did these things and they were not confined to working in her home. So those who are working outside of the home, never let anyone belittle you or think anything or say anything about your working outside the walls of your home. Notice the Bible says that she, from the fruit of her hand. Now, I can't imagine my wife doing this. But from the efforts and the fruit of her work, she had money enough to go out and examine a field. And she bought it. And she planted a vineyard of it. And the vineyard brought in crop. It brought in produce, which was harvested and sold. And I have yet to figure out how she planted a vineyard and brought that field that she bought into her house without leaving the house to work. So let's be careful how we speak of how our ladies work. Now back off the soapbox. Her standing. Look at the second, if you would, verse 13 through 18. Her sacrifices. Under her standing, we had a price, a perfection, and a plan. Under 13 to 18, as we look at her sacrifices, she gives, first of all, of her talents, her labors. And this is a talent, too. Notice it talks about her shopping. All the ladies should say amen there. It talks about her labors. It talks about shopping. It talks about cooking. It talks about her keeping the home. She is a giver of all of the abilities that God has given to her. She turns and shares those with others. And look at the second thing we find in verse 15 through 18. One, she gives of her talents. But the second, she gives of her time. This verse says that she rises up early. And that she works late. There are no hours. And those of you that know, Justin and Lauren's house sold a lot faster than they expected it. They have to move over near Caroline County. And so when their house sold, they only had like 14 days, 15 days to get out of their house. Which meant they came back to my house. And they're living in the apartment beneath. And the other night we were asleep. And I heard one of the boys who was getting sick. And here's what I thought. She's not just keeping those little boys 12 hours a day. And I knew she had been late going down. And now she's early getting up. You follow through and look at what the scripture says. She rises early. I had a friend of mine, we were talking about this passage of scripture. Notice it says she arises early and it talks about her prepared meat. He said that meant she'd get up and fix breakfast. He said that meant the bacon was ready when everybody else got up. But she rises early and she works late and she tends to the needs of her children and to her husband and to others. It talks about her maidens there. This is her sacrifice. Her talents, her time. So her standing, her sacrifice. Then look at the third in verse 19 through 25. Her service. Now she labors. Now most men, and I'm going to park here again in a moment. Most men and children have no idea what it is to do the work of a mother or the work of a woman. And here's where I'm going to park. Don't ever be caught saying, I'm not going to do that. That's woman's work. There is no such thing outside of child delivery that is woman's work. I'll not vacuum a house. Then you ought not eat dinner. Listen, washing dishes isn't the most wonderful part of the day for anybody. Thank God for dishwashers, right? But it's not woman's work. It's not the woman that dirties the house up. We had all of our kids and grandkids over today for Mother's Day lunch. And I know for a fact the front door was just clean. And I saw handprints all over it when I came out to go to church. And here's what I noticed. It wasn't my wife's handprints. You know what she said? And I said, you know her. This shows you the difference of the train of thought. I'm like, well, let's get a rag and clean the door. The grandkids had their hands all over the glass. You know her thought? No, leave it there. It's cute. Means they've been here. put me in my place, but in a good way. There is no such thing as woman's work. And men, let me say this. If your woman contributes, if your wife, your lady contributes to the finances of your weekly life, then you ought to contribute to helping her with her labor and work at home. Me and Bill both. Her service. She labors. Verse number 20, she loves. The godly woman is moved by her compassion to make a difference in the lives of people. Now, I told you that if I wanted someone to pray for me that I knew could reach heaven, the first person that I would talk to would be my wife. Now, let me, and this isn't praise pastor's wife night. A while back, I entered a room, and she was sitting in the room crying. And I thought, uh-oh, what have I done? I was rehearsing quickly. I'm thinking, birthday. Is it her birthday? Did I not get a birthday present? Is this our anniversary? No, our anniversary is in August. No, it wasn't that. And I asked her why she's crying. I was glad to find that had nothing to do with me. But we had had to expel a student out of our school. And you know, and staff, I'm not trying to slight any of us. But in dealing with hardship, you know what most of us would say? We're better off without the student. Life would be easier. And my response, and I told you she challenges me, so I'm just trying to be honest and transparent with you. My response would be, we don't need that kind of trouble in the school. And here's her reply to me. We may not need him, but he needs us. A godly woman, a virtuous woman, is a woman who has learned how to love. This, and I'll say it to this crowd, this has been a challenging year for us. You know that we took a young man into our home for a number of months. I'll tell you honestly, it wasn't my idea. I've been in a home where that's happened before. I told you about her praying. She came home and was telling me things that had happened and what was going on. And we were contacted. We knew he had to be somewhere. I was headed out of town to a meeting in Murfreesboro. And I told my wife, I said, I don't know. God is going to have to do something in my mind, in my heart, if we're going to do this. Probably shouldn't have said it that way, because later she told me what she prayed. And she said, Lord, if you want us to do this, you got to change his heart. I can't. And the whole reason for us taking a young man into our home is because she has the heart of love. Do you remember what Genesis said, what God said? It's not good. And I'm going to so as not to confuse anybody. This is not the Word of God. And God saw that it was not good that Don Sumter be alone. And he made for him an helpmeet. He made for him someone who would balance him out, who would strengthen his weaknesses, and who he could strengthen her weaknesses. And I'll preach about her weaknesses on Father's Day. Just kidding. But see, that's what God said when he made an helpmeet. Because it was not in my heart what God had put in a mother's heart. She labors. She loves. Her standing, her sacrifices, her service. The fourth one is found in verse number 26, her speech. She guides, she stands by to help those who need benefit of her wisdom and from her intuition. I'm so thankful for my mom's intuition. I would have messed my life up in so many ways. Somewhere beneath her hair, my mom has eyes in the back of her head. You ever said this about your mom? How does she know? How did she find that out? But there's something that God gives mothers, an intuition about things, a wisdom about things. I'll never forget hanging around with the wrong people who I didn't see a thing wrong with. God gave her wisdom. And she said, "You can't." I wasn't all that happy with her at the time. But when you're old, you understand some things that people have, that intuition. She labors, she loves, her speech, she guides, she offers counsel. The book of Proverbs, chapter 25, verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Now notice again, I mentioned this morning, the first verse talks about the virtuous woman, not a vicious woman. A vicious woman doesn't know how to guide with her words, her speech. She guides. But notice this also, she's gentle. She has such a way of soothing the hurts as we read through these scriptures, in particular verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. These are the characteristics of the godly woman. Her standing, her sacrifice, her service, her speech, her selflessness. Look at verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. What does this mean? She watches. She keeps her eye on those who have given, God's given her to love. She knows what their needs are. And she responds to those needs. Occasionally, I will say something from the pulpit that will get me in trouble. And my mom will threaten to spank me at 54 years old. This is one of those moments. I have never told anyone this. We were in Springfield and Dad had gone inside to check the office. And usually, and men don't really watch the clock that much, and he had stepped in for a moment, and to a 8-year-old boy, a moment is an hour. I was a little kid a lot like Dennis the Menace. You have to find something to do. And I looked out of the window of the car while Dad was in the office just checking on things, and I saw a bird's nest in the top of one of the church evergreen trees. And I saw the mother bird come in and out of it. And curiosity got me. And I had to know what was in that nest. And so I climbed to the top of that tree. By this time, I'm glad Dad had lost the awareness of how long he had been. And I got to the edge of that nest, and I poked my head over in it to see what was in there. Is it eggs? Is it bird? You know, is there chocolate candy? What's in here? And just as I did, that mother bird came back. Yeah, have you ever made a mother bird angry before? She was angry. And she flew around my head and poked me and got me with her feet and got me with her nose. And I'm not the brightest bulb. I decide I got to fight her off. So I let go of the tree. And I'm smacking at this mother bird. As I fall out of the tree and to the ground. Why am I telling you that story? I'm telling that story because I was on the receiving end of a mother's care as she protected what was hers. She, notice in verse 26 and 27, her selflessness, she watches. As determined as I was at 8 years old to find out what was in that nest, that bird was determined I wasn't going to find out what was in that nest. And can I tell you something? She won. I never got to see what was in that nest. She had her way. The godly mother watches. Her selflessness, she watches. Her selflessness, she works. And we could talk about this from this chapter and others. She works. This talks about working with her hands. It talks about how long she works and what she does. Proverbs 31, the woman does everything in her power to build up her home. But we could also talk, Proverbs also doesn't just talk about the positive things. It also talks about the foolish things. With your Bible, real quick, if you would, go to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 31, a virtuous woman. Okay, all you younger guys that aren't married here, or older guys, or whoever you be that's not married here, you better listen to these verses too. Proverbs 21, look at verse number 9. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Now, God wrote it, I didn't. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop, a restricted little place, than with a brawling woman. You know what that brawling, that's another one of those terms. I just had to know. A fighting, noisy, complaining, gossipy woman. Now, look, if you would, at verse 19 of the same chapter. It's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. And I'm not about to give you an illustration of that one. Because if I did, I'd be sleeping with the chickens tonight. Her standing, her sacrifice, her service, her speech, her selflessness. And verse 28 and 29, her satisfaction. The children and her husband declare her to be excellent. Look at verse number 28, if you would. Her children arise up. Now, let me back to personal thought with this. When did my mother get wise? And I know we've heard this said about our parents before. When you're 14 years old, it is amazing how little your parents know. At 16, you're worried that they don't know anything at all. At 21, you're convinced that you know it all. And they don't know anything. But then things begin to change. And by 30, well, they know something. And by 35, you wished you'd listened. You wished you'd have heard. That's what I think of when I read this verse. Rise up. You remember the scripture that says this, train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they're old, now I don't know the terminology of what the Bible considers old, but nowhere in the scripture does it ever teach us or say to us that just because we put our children through a Christian school, that they're going to serve the Lord all the days of their life. I stood a number of years ago with a teenage boy who had been in our school, left our school, and went to public school. God used him there in a tremendous way, bringing kids to church and bringing them to Christ. But God used him there. But when he left the school, he said this, I will never in my life send my kids to Landmark Christian School. A few years ago, I ran into him again, and he was in the school office. And I stood up behind him. I was standing behind him just to see, you know, what he was doing. He was getting applications for his kids. I was there when he brought the applications back in, and his kids have been here with us for a good while now. Train up a child in the way that they should go. And there may come a time when there is a period of time where they think we don't know anything. They think they know best. And there may be a period of time when our philosophy and our thought and our faith is not theirs. But when they're old. Now when I read this passage of Scripture, it says, her children rise up. And I began to evaluate these two verses and to research these two verses together and what the words are both talking about. There is a time between youth and maturity. And if we do our jobs as parents when they're young, we are finding, I've been in ministry just long enough to see this, I'm seeing some people come back. I'm seeing some people that were young, that were children who walked away, who come back. They rise up. Later on, they come back and call her blessed. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Notice in verse number 28, her young ones. Now, we could read from Leviticus law, the Levitical law. Listen to this, kids. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse number 9. Better be glad we don't live under this law. For everyone that curses his father and his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or mother or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. That's some pretty stiff law. Her children. But then in verse 28 and 29, it also talks about her yoke fellow, her helpmeet or her mate or her husband. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives. That's a command. But there's a piece of this verse that we better not miss. Even as Christ loved the church. Our love for our wives is to reflect the love that Christ had for the church. And Christ gave his all for the church. Now, I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're almost finished. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. Men, in particular, with us tonight. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. Now we all need to take our portion of this verse and grasp it with some knowledge. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Now, this next phrase is important, as the weaker vessel. And as being heirs together of the grace of God. The weaker vessel. You know what that is? That's the fragile thing. There is no criticism and being fragile. The devil knew that Eve was more fragile than Adam. God knows that. And God tells us that we as husbands are to deal with them in knowledge, giving honor as unto the weaker vessel or the fragile thing. In your home, I don't know where it is in your home, but in your home, you have something that's fragile. And it's set in a certain place. I was in a home one time that they were showing me around the house, and they had a vase sitting on the mantle. And the husband shared with me how valuable that vase was. What it was made out of, where it came from, and all that kind of stuff. I would have been horrified to have it there. Now, when you walk in their home, you walk into a living area. There was the fireplace. And on the fireplace mantle, there was this vase set up. One of the first things that you could see. But it was fragile. Let me jump to another illustration of this. Eggs. I'm learning more about them. I know some things that Remy doesn't know. And Remy be staying with us and he's been helping me. So good to have somebody to help you clean the chicken coop. But he likes to pick up the eggs. We got a big job to do either tonight or tomorrow in picking them up. But understand this, he has no clue how fragile they are. And I have a basket that we collect them in, unlike the picture that Philip sent my wife of someone who collects eggs in an apron, and he said, I'd like to see the pastor in this apron. And it has all these little slots that you put eggs around. Now, I have this metal basket that we put these fragile eggs in. Now, I know you pick it up, and you gently lay it in the basket. Remy knows that an egg is somewhere across between an egg and a softball. And so he'll pick them up, and the basket is about that tall. The first time we went, he would drop them from the top of the basket, and I would hear, psh-k. And I thought, oh, no. That particular day, we were supposed to collect about 14 eggs. I think we collected 6. Here's also something that I've learned. Do you know that I can control how fragile those eggs are? By the way, I care for the chickens that lay them. I've got one of them, I don't know which one it is, that lays eggs with a very soft shell. And if you pick that egg up, you had better handle it very carefully because it doesn't take a lot of movement. It's fragile. But here's what I've learned. In order to help those birds lay eggs with a stronger shell, I have to make sure they're taken care of. I say, well, Bridget, how do you do that? One, you feed them oyster shells. Two, you feed them granite dust. Or three, you can feed them mealworms. I choose the oyster shell and the granite dust because I really don't care for the worms. And you have to make sure they have plenty of water. I can control how fragile those shells are. And I say that tonight to help the dads, the husbands in here understand. The Bible, in this verse of Scripture, says that we are to be very careful to handle with knowledge and giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker, the fragile. Help to make her stronger. And as being heirs together, this is a teamwork. But I want to point out the last phrase of this verse. Because, men, if we don't do that, look at the last phrase of the verse. That your prayers be not hindered. I wonder how many men in this room tonight, our prayers have been hindered because we have not treated our wife as the weaker vessel. And there is no issue. Please don't take issue with being the weaker. That's the way God created. But the husband can bring strength. Standing, sacrifice, service, speech, selflessness, satisfaction. And the final one of verse 30 through 31 is her secret. She doesn't desire compliments. She despises those because she's figured out favor is deceitful. Verse number 30, she deplores conceit because she has figured out that beauty is vain. My grandmother, my Granny Lark, I'll never forget. Of all the sayings that I remember her saying to me in all of my life was this. Donnie, beauty is only skin deep, but ugly goes to the bone. Now, I don't know if she was saying that about me or who. I just remember her saying that. So much of the world, when it comes to our mothers and to our ladies and to our wives, is so trapped on what's on the outside. And the godly woman has come to the conclusion that favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. It's all going to change. Can I tell you this? One of the most beautiful ladies in our auditorium this morning. And I probably shouldn't even illustrate it this way because somebody will get upset. But I think, for me, one of the most beautiful ladies in our auditorium this morning was Millie Rosenbaum. She's wrinkled. She's in her 90s. But if you know her life, then when she was a pastor's wife, a faithful member of our church, and now as she's gotten on in years and had to move out of her home and family moved her in and she doesn't like it, and she can't get out to church like she wants to. But this morning, she made sure, as soon as I came off the platform this morning, I looked back and here she came up the aisle. You know, she does. I remember when she was a younger woman. But there's a beauty about her. Verse 30 says she's devoted to Christ. She's figured out that true secret of beauty is found in faith. You read through this chapter. It deserves our reading. It deserves our attention. And I believe it tonight. It doesn't just give us information about what ladies are supposed to be. I think it's this. I think it's God's way of saying, listen, this is what a godly woman is. Look at her characteristics. Admire her characteristics. And then take her characteristics upon yourself. So that we too can be godly people. And so there's a number of characteristics for us tonight to remember, to soak in, and to apply to our living this week. Let's pray together, please. Father, thank you for your grace and goodness to us. Thank you for this Mother's Day. And help us now, Lord, to see your word as a mirror. May it